Hey there, welcome to the Biz Under Construction podcast. I'm Cora Lee, and this is the podcast for women business owners in the construction industry that struggle knowing how their business is doing, are working nonstop, and don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. So whether you're just starting out or you want to take your construction business to the next level, let me tell you, as a woman with 25 years in the construction industry, including 15 years as a business owner, I can help. This show is going to help you make more money, finally stop working 7 days a week, and actually be able to take a bloody vacation. So let's get to work.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for being with me today. Today, I'm excited to introduce you to Mimi Fay with Honeybee Development Group, also Honeybee Homes. She is an incredible woman with a partnership with Alejandra Moreno, and together they are incredible. So let me just introduce you to Mimi. Mimi has a background in finance and a subsequent education in construction and building. Her career has seamlessly blended the worlds of financing and construction, making her a true Jill of all trades. Mimi's expertise spans deal acquisitions, financing, construction management, and interior finishes. Her superpower lies in finding creative solutions that harmonize value and aesthetics, all while appreciating the significance of building science. With Mimi on board, you can trust that your project will benefit from a unique blend of financial acumen, construction knowledge, and an eye for design, ensuring both practicality and beauty. Mimi, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Coralie. You did that intro beautifully. I was like, wow, I sound really good.
Yeah, it's you. It's you. So why don't you start with telling me, you know, how did you get into construction? How did this journey start for you?
Construction. I always like to say everything in life comes by as a necessity. So I started in construction out of necessity as well. I started off in banking. My bachelor's degree was actually in finance, and I just knew that the banking world, the corporate world, wasn't for me. After having three kids in a row, and we lived in a moldy old bungalow in the suburbs, when all our friends were living downtown, I was like, you know, this can't be it. I quit my job with three young kids, I think three under 5 years old or something like that. Wow. And we said we need to build this house or sell it because our babies can't live in a moldy environment. So we went out, we tried to sell the house, we couldn't. And then my husband says, you know what? It's a great lot. It's close to schools, great neighborhood. Why don't we just build on it? And he's like, I don't have time to do it. He actually has a construction background. He's like, I don't have time to do it, but it's not rocket science. You can do it and I'll help you. I go, okay, sure. So I went and I got the certification, got registered with HBO, which is the Home Buyers Protection in province of BC. And we started building our first house. And since then, made a lot of really good contacts. A lot of people wanted to partner. A lot of friends and family wanted to be our client. And so my husband said, you know what? You have a real knack for this. And he was the one that kept encouraging me and pushing me along. And we started the business in construction from that, doing custom homes for people. And business was great. And we never looked back.
Wow. So to start your journey building your own house. Okay. One, you quit your job before you knew what you were going to do next, which I'm like, yeah, this isn't working for me. So I'm just going to go quit. It's unusual to begin with. Most people like to have something secure and this is where I'm going to go. And then for you to start into the construction with just, I'm just going to build my house. How does that happen? Like, I guess with your husband, maybe his guidance, like how does that happen where you can just like, where do I start? Because your background wasn't there. So how did you even know where to start?
That's a really good question. Well, I quit because I physically couldn't do the 9 to 5 in a corporate world. There was no remote working either. So it was commuting to downtown with three kids in daycare. So physically it was like, okay, you're going to be a stay-at-home mom. And I did a bunch of side hustles. So I sold insurance. I sold online things for other coaches. I was a big salesperson. So all of those things didn't really stick because I think that wasn't where my passion was. And in terms of not being scared and not knowing, I showed up the first day of demo to interview an excavation contractor in heels to demo site in my pretty red dress and my purse. And I showed up in heels and I was like, eh. And that contractor later took the money, ran off, and the recycling company put a lien on our property because he didn't pay. So I learned about construction law and liens
Oh.
very early on. Because, as a female, people take advantage, and there's a lot of great people out there and a lot of not so great people. But I think the thing is, you're not scared when you don't know. You just have that can-do attitude. It's like, oh, it's not like I can learn. HGTV, YouTube,
Yes.
like, no problem. Let's go. So that's how we got
Wow.
into it.
So when, what year was that you started building your house?
I think that was 2016 or 17.
Wow. Okay. So there's, I mean, there was some YouTube, but to build a house from YouTube or those types of resources, that's hard. It's a commitment. That's a commitment. So, you built your house, you decided to get into this thing. Where did Honeybee Development Group, Honeybee Homes, come from? How did that originator come to be?
So at the time, I had an Instagram account. I don't remember the name since it's evolved since then, but there was somebody that I followed called the Fox Group out in Utah. They built beautiful houses. And I'm like, oh, that's a cool name. And it was their last name was Fox. So they called themselves the Fox Group. And I was like, I'm going to call myself Development Group because I'm going to grow into that name. Because I was all very ambitious and motivated to start this company. And so Honeybee Development Group was the first iteration of that company. And my landscaper slash welder took my business card, and it was a black business card, all shiny. And he looked at it and he's like, oh, group, that's fancy. And it was just me. And I remember very clearly in front of my house that day, I was like, you'll see, I'm growing into that name. And it's not going to be just me. So, fast forward a few years later, we've branched off into two companies. One is called Honeybee Homes that focuses on construction and building within BC, Vancouver, BC, Canada. And then we also have a development portion where we actually do the financing, the deal structuring, and the development portion, which kind of goes back to my old life of being in banking. The financing, the syndication of funds is my superpower. So we've been able to split those two, and now we can really call ourselves a group because we have a lot of companies now.
Oh, that's exciting, and I think that's really incredible just for you to have that vision and know that that's what you want to do and then do it. So congratulations, and that's great. And on that note, okay, so you now have this development group and you're developing these properties throughout Canada, at least. I'm not sure if it's also North America. How do you do that? Like that to me, like I have no idea how that whole world works. How do you just all of a sudden go, oh, I'm going to buy a property in the middle of Ontario and develop it while I live in BC? How does that work?
I'm going to try to do this in a short amount of time because you let me to it, I'll probably be here for 3 hours. Again, everything out of necessity. So going back to Honeybee Homes where we started building, I started building for my boss when I worked at insurance. And then I started building for my kids' parents from daycare. And it was custom homes, and it was great because I didn't have to fork out any money. I had a high income skill with project management that there was no risk for capital for me, and I didn't have the capital to get started. And so what I found was I was still trading time for money, although I was making a little bit more than I was at the bank as an administrative in an administrative role. But then I was seeing all the people that I built for were making a lot of money as the owners. So I thought, okay, how do I start developing. Like, how do I become the owners and how do I do that? So then I started looking into buying properties. And at that time, I made the tough decision to sell the new house that I built
Oh,
because I
okay.
made equity in that house. And I was able to build it for a very reasonable amount of money, like a very beautiful house. So we had 65 offers,
Oh, wow.
and that house sold like that. We took the money, and I met my now partner, Alejandra, and she took a second mortgage out of her house. So now we're two girls with a little bit of cash in our hands, and we went crazy the first year, and we bought four development properties.
Oh, wow.
After we bought those development properties, we wanted to, when we were buying our fourth, money had run out because you only have so much money. So we thought,
Sure.
okay, how do we figure out to get other people in because it's a good deal? So friends and family, my brother, my mom, Alejandra's parents, we chipped in together and we bought a property. And then some other friends said, okay, we want to come in. So then we said, okay, well, then we need to start a company. And how do we make sure that everybody in the company is secured on the land to make sure that their investment is secure? But how do we make them not liable because they don't want to be running the project? And then they also have to qualify for the mortgage. So then it gets into a whole other world of fund syndication. So what happened was we're like, okay, we can't do JVs anymore. We can't do corporate structures anymore because there's too much liability for our investors who are at the time our friends and family. So we need to figure out how we can tax efficiently and compliantly syndicate money. And through networking and just, having that thought, like I do believe that when you have the energy and you focus on something, the universe puts things into your life that guides you.
Yes.
So we met somebody in Calgary, a friend of ours. He said, I'm starting a mutual fund trust. I'm thinking about doing this. And we're like, okay, what's a mutual fund trust? And he said, oh, it's this thing where you can syndicate money and you can pool investors' money. We're like, give me your lawyer. We're in. So we
We need
went,
that.
we need that. That's exactly what we need. Because Alejandra at the time said, Mimi, we need a bank. We need to have a bank that will give us financing when we need it so we can keep doing the projects that we're doing. And I said, in my past life as a banker, I know that we don't need a bank, we need a fund. So that seed was planted right from the get-go. So when somebody told us about the mutual fund trust, we're like, we're in, send me to the people that you talk to. So it was a year of heavy, heavy involvement with our securities lawyer. A third of $1 million later,
Oh, wow.
we had established our mutual fund trust that's tax compliant, securities compliant, limited liability partners, where they can syndicate and put their money into deals with registered funds as well. So TFSAs, RSPs, which is huge in Canada. And so now, as a collective, we're able to go in to higher barrier to entry development projects. Instead of doing like the single family homes, we're able to do six story buildings, towers, hundreds of units, hundreds of acres. So we're suddenly able to scale because we've built this infrastructure, which is kind of cool. And I think we were one of the first ones within the network of people that we knew that were like, that's what we want. That's what we're going to do. And I think there was perhaps a first mover's advantage where once we had that structure set up, projects were coming to us. Like really good projects were coming to us saying, we have this really good deal. We don't know how to execute it. Can you help? So we've, talked to lots of people. There's probably 20 or 30 deals that come across my desk every day. And
Oh,
as a
wow.
builder and a developer, I'm able to kind of walk them through the whole process. Okay, you have this deal, but have you figured out the zoning, the construction costs? What is your structural, your mechanical? Because that could throw your budget way off. And people usually don't think about the end construction. when you were looking at a deal. So we were kind of able to be the bridge to go back and forth because we've seen everything. So we've gone from funding to developing to, you know, feasibility to the actual execution of the construction, turnkey type services. So that's how we are now 14 projects in our mutual fund trust across Canada. So from the west, from Vancouver Island all the way to Kingston, Ontario, Toronto, Ontario, and possibly looking at over international, because our mutual fund is able to deploy funds into the US or even Mexico. And we have about 500 million in development value within our mutual fund trust. But again, it all came from necessity.
Okay. So just for the listener, because I'm going to have a couple people who are listening to this. One is going to be the person who's like, I want to do that. And then the other thing, the other people are going to be like, that sounds really cool that she did that. How can I get on board with her? So let's start with the first one. For those people that are like, that sounds really cool, I want to do that. What's the first step? It was getting in touch with, you know, somebody's planted the seeds. You've now planted the seed for somebody. Is it getting in touch with a securities lawyer? Is that stage one?
Get in touch with me. So reach out to, on our website, there's www.honeybeedevelopment.com. You can sign up, you can reach out, send an email, and you can reach out to myself or my partner, Alejandra, and we'll tell you everything we know, just so you don't have to make any mistakes that we made and waste time or funds. Not all MFTs are created the same. An MFT is a mutual fund trust. They're not all created the same. And I know a few colleagues that have had some issues. So if that's something you want to do, if you're in Canada, reach out to me. I'll tell you everything I have. And if you can make it better, let me know. And if you're out in the US or internationally, I know that there's other fund, real estate fund courses or something out there, but definitely get a mentor and talk to somebody who's done it so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Like, it's not rocket science. It's not patented information. It's out there. You just have to find somebody that you like and they're doing what you want to do and just copy.
Yeah. That's one of my mentors says, R&D stands for
R&D rip off.
Rip off and duplicate. Yes.
Rip
off and duplicate. Yes. R&D. And I agree. I say that all the time. Like, just don't try and figure it out on your own because you lose so much time when other people have already done that for you. So I wanted to actually ask, because you, you and Ali are really great partners. Like, you are like the yin and the yang kind of thing. You're good balance. When you met her or decided to become partners with her in your business, did you do due diligence or was it like a gut thing? How did you decide that she was going to be a good partner? Because that's a pretty big risk that you're taking on by bringing on a partner in that capacity.
Absolutely. And knowing what I know now, that was a shot in the dark, man.
Yeah.
Kind of like my marriage. I married Fernando within like 3 weeks of meeting him. Like, we got engaged just like that. So I do feel that there is sometimes a gut instinct that we do need to follow. Always trust your gut. And however, do not copy. Kids, don't do this at home. Anything, like whether it's a business venture, a relationship, or a business partner, it's the person, it's the character of the person and what their soul and value is. Like, everything else, hard skills can be learned.
Yeah.
We learned the securities law. We learned development. I went from finance numbers to construction. Like, everything else can be learned, but those soft skills as a person and how you are as a being is a little bit harder to learn. And our partnership didn't start out as the two of us. It was actually three.
Oh, okay.
And there were some disagreements within that partnership. And how Alejandra handled that with love and grace, despite everything that happened, further cemented my confidence in her as a person. So I said, you know, after everything that's happened, you still send out love and you still stay positive. So I think that's really one of the things that sets her apart. And I think I'm like that as well. If any problems or difficulties arise, when things get hard, you rise to the occasion and not step back, hide, or disappear. And so that shows character.
Because that's, I think, something that a lot of people are kind of gun shy with, like, just, you know, actually committing to bringing on partners is a big commitment. And just not, you know, how do you know? But yeah, that's why I thought I'd ask you that. So the other part of that was, so that's somebody get in touch with you or Alejandra if they want to do it on their own. What does it look like if somebody wants to invest with you? I guess, obviously, get in touch with you. But what does that look like if somebody does want to invest with you?
So any of our investors are part of our community. So we picked our name Honeybee because we believe in the ecosystem and the collaboration. So we're always stronger together. And we started this whole venture to bring value to our community, which is initially our friends and family. And we have a lot of people within our investment pool that have been able to retire off of the investment returns that we're able to provide. So that's a really great feeling. We offer quite generous returns to our investors, and we believe in keeping our hive, adding value to our hive and making sure our ecosystem is healthy. So first, get on our newsletter from our website. At the bottom, there's Join the Hive. Because for a lot of people who don't know us, follow us on socials, get to know who we are, because that's a really important part of due diligence, is understanding the people behind the deal. Like, there's a lot of deals out there. There's more than enough. Like, we're not reinventing the wheel with land development at all, but understand the people behind the deal. See if these people have value to offer. And if you see that there's value, then you can look at the hard facts. Okay, where is this property? How much is it? What are the returns? Blah, blah, blah. But I always want to go into the abstract a little bit and say, get to know us, get a feel of who we are and what we stand for, and then get on our mailing list. We send out newsletters, updates regularly about each and every one of our projects. So attend one of those updates. We have webinars, and then join our hive that way.
Just that easy. And our hive is a really wonderful place to be. I'm part of it. So, you know, I encourage anybody to join. I think you guys have created an incredible community of incredible people. I encourage anybody who's like-minded to join.
Well, you are part of the hive, Coralie. And and it's amazing because I think you have very similar energy to our team. And I mean, you are our fractional COO with Honeybee Homes, and you've been able to utilize your expertise and help us whip a lot of processes into shape and the organization and the operation. So we're so grateful, and we love how methodical you are, and you, like, it just shows really great leadership. And so we're so happy and privileged to have you on board in our hive too.
Well, thank you. I didn't pay her to say that, I promise. So what I was going to ask you is, you know, this is, it's you outside your comfort zone. You started in finance and you're getting into construction. You're building an MFT. Like, what were some of the challenges that stuck out to you that you're just like, that could have stopped you and just didn't?
Challenges will always be there in life. And I want, if anything, any listeners are here today, is I want you to know that there will always be challenges. Like, if you want to get into something thinking, once I get to that level, it'll be smooth sailing, that's not true. So I used to have $100 problems. Now I have $1 million problems. And every time you see a problem like that, you go, okay, well, now it's $1 million. So I've leveled up. So if I can
Yay.
for this $1 million problem,
Yeah.
it might be a $10 million problem after that. But that just means that you've leveled up. And there's nothing that a friend of mine actually just told me yesterday. She's like, how are you feeling about this? And I go, well, I feel anxious. I feel fear. And she goes, okay, what's under that? So what if you feel fear? Like, what is there to fear about? And I thought about it and I said, well, I'm not going to die. I still have my health. I still have head on my shoulders. No, nothing is the end of the world. Everything is figure outable. You just have to find the right people to help and put it out to the universe. We had a $1.7 million problem last week, and we didn't know what to do about it. And so we talked to every single person that we met. Help us, give us ideas. Like, I don't even know how you can help me, but this is my problem. And our problem is getting resolved slowly, not without consequences, but it's getting resolved, and we're going to come out the other end. I know that for sure. So have faith, put it out there, ask people. Don't be scared because fear is paralyzing. Fear will kill you before the problem actually does. And going through the very many challenges that I've gone through over the past couple of years actually has now shown me that I don't need to fear. Like, it builds confidence. So I do have confidence now in saying, I'm not indestructible, you can't kill me that quickly, and I won't go down with a fight.
Takes a little bit more than that.
Exactly.
And so can you tell us about a project or a whether it be a project or whatever you want to call that you're really proud of, that you're like, I did that. And you don't have to choose one because I'm sure there's probably a few.
There is, I would say one of the project that has the most impact on me would be our first project in our MFT, in our mutual fund trust. And that project was extremely challenging. And I remember we had 3 weeks to do the due diligence and to remove subject. And it was a $2.7 million purchase. And it was a piece of raw land. It was. And we had to take it over from somebody, and like everything was just a perfect storm of chaos. Our MFT wasn't quite ready, and we were like $2.7 million. We have to have, I think at the time, like over $1 million in down payment that we didn't have, and we had to make sure that the due diligence was done and we could get financing for the other half of the 2.7. So there were a bunch of things, I remember driving home and talking to Alejandra in the car, and I think I must have talked to her for 40 minutes. And it was, the whole conversation was like, should we do it? Yeah, there's lots of potential. No, we can't do it. There's no way we can meet it. Like, why are we taking this risk? We could lose everything. Yeah, but it's a really good project. Like, there's potential. It's a slam dunk. Needless to say, we did the project and we survived. It was a piece of raw land for 85,000 square feet. We built a road and we did all the services inside. We had to blast out half a mountain to get it leveled. We went over budget. Right now we have a bit of a hiccup with our neighbors because he's trying to sue us for $40,000. Again, another small, just a minor detail. But the lots are done, 11 residential lots ready to build with an income suite. The market is turning a little bit in the spring, so we're actually going to be pricing them higher than what we had budgeted in our pro formas initially. So I think we're coming out of that one, and it just showed that sometimes when you're at a crossroad and you don't know which direction to go, and you only have the limited amount of information that you have, make that informed decision to jump and then follow through.
Yes.
And so I think with that, there was a lot of confidence built, learned a lot of skills on how the MFT works, the funding process, the fundraising process, the legal process, and then the relationship, the investors' relationship management. So that was our first project. And I think that really took us to the next level.
Well, and I would say also the amount that you learn in the actual development of the land itself, like just, you know, building roads and getting services in and preparing a piece of land to purchase for other people to purchase. I think that it's kind of a cool thing. Like just, I did that. And now I'll let somebody else come in and build the houses, or maybe you guys will, who knows?
It's a beautiful piece of land, but one thing we learned is don't overblast, because we blasted off a cliff and we overblasted by about a foot. And right now the dispute with the neighbor is that he's saying we overblasted a foot off of a face of a cliff. So anyways, lesson learned. So that'll never happen to us again.
True enough. True enough. And so what is it that you think, like, if you could go back to your, you know, self, say 10 years ago, what would you tell yourself?
Who, not how.
Yeah.
So don't be scared of what you don't know. Find the people that can help you. You don't have to do everything alone. I think I started off as a lone wolf, and I've always been saying, oh, I can do this myself. Oh, I don't need to, I don't need to hire help. I don't need to hire this person. I don't need to delegate. I grew up in a family where hard work and having grit, like just grind it out, just figure it out, tough it out. That was a good thing. And I think while it made me a very competent person, and I would say I'm not too dumb either. Like I think, you know, intelligence wise, like I was able to figure out a few things myself. It's also really important to utilize the superpower of other people. If I knew that and I didn't grind it out myself for 10 years before, I think I would be a lot farther than I am now, but it's not too late. Read the book, Who Not How by Dan Sullivan. And I think that for me was a big one.
It's such a good point, because I see that often with people that I work with just in general. They go at it. And I did the same thing. Just, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it, because it's just easier and you know how and all of the things. And then you realize, oh, when you finally get help, you're like, oh, well, I should have done this a long time ago. You know, lessons learned. And hopefully somebody out there will be like, okay, I should do it sooner than I'm ready. Yes, do it sooner than you're ready.
Absolutely. Because if you do everything yourself, it's just going to lead to burnout.
Yes.
And, you know, you might leave an industry that you otherwise might really love, simply because of burnout, when you can leverage other people. And it's great to share the pie. I think it's a lot of people say, well, I don't want to share the profits. But haven't you thought that if you had someone's help, you'd make more profits to share?
Exactly.
So don't be scared of sharing a slice of the watermelon with somebody else. Otherwise, you'd get a grape to yourself.
Yes, it's a good analogy. So with all of the things that you have going on, how do you balance for work and life? I mean, that's a challenge for all of us women in this industry. What do you do to take care of you? I don't like to say work-life balance, because I just don't think that exists. I think it's integration. We need to know how to flow with life and with our business. It's just the nature of our roles. How do you do that?
It's a challenge for sure. I knew that I wanted to be a young mom, so I had kids quite early on. And my mom would always encourage me, don't worry, have kids, and then you can start a whole career after the kids, which is exactly what happened. So the power of positive thinking and kind of having that direction. So If you think your life is unbalanced, it will be unbalanced. If you think your life is fulfilling and balanced, it will be balanced. I think a portion of it is in your head. My mom always goes, "Oh my God, you must be so stressed. Oh, you're doing so much every day." And I'm like, "Think about this, mom. I'm going to flip that conversation and go, I should be so proud that I'm so productive and I'm able to get so many things done in a day. My kids are still alive." So there's that. The other thing is stay present. So I travel a lot, but when it's the weekend, I'm out with the kids. Like we're on the playground, we are running. I'm on the playground with them. If we're sitting down together, we're not watching TV. Like I'm coloring, I'm engaging with them. So I think quality time versus quantity, because thinking back in my 20s, yeah, I could watch Netflix didn't exist back then, but I could watch movies online for hours. And that's not quality time. And you'd still think your life is not balanced because of that. So it's not the amount of time, it's the quality and being present and able to enjoy every single thing that you're doing at the moment and not think about the future or the past.
Yeah, and I think just from the interactions that you and I have, what I appreciate about you is that if I text you on the weekend, I typically don't hear back until Monday, which I appreciate because some things will be going through my head and I'll be like, oh, just send her. So just I appreciate the fact that you are somebody who's like, I'm with my family, this is my family time, and you actually break away from work as much as you can. So I think that that is something that more people could practice, including myself, because I often work too much on the weekends.
I'm
But
probably texting somebody else about something else on
yeah.
the weekend. But I mean, yes, it is very important to not let our minds race. When we if there's nothing we can do about it on a Sunday, then might as well just wait.
True, very true. So I'm going to have link to your website in the show notes so that people can get to you. Is there anything else that you want to share with the people about who you are, what you do, what you have to offer? I think that there's so much goodness in all that you're doing, from the building and the quality that you're building and the development and the offer that you have for people to invest with you. I just think it's an incredible community. And anything else that you want to share?
If you need help, just reach out to us. I think, actually, I'm gonna backtrack. I would like you to pay it forward. So if there's anything that you've learned from us, and we are more than happy to give you guidance, or we host webinars every once in a while for adding value to anybody who wants to be in construction development. Pay it forward to somebody else because we honestly believe that in this world we need to cross-pollinate. I like my pun. We do need to cross-pollinate to make an ecosystem work. And it's energy. Money is like energy. Energy is like traffic. Sometimes it stops, sometimes it goes, but it always comes around. So make sure that you do good. Make sure that you're adding value to your community, and pay it forward for anything that you've learned here today.
Well, I think that's a great way to end it. Thank you so much for being here. I truly appreciate your time, and I know you have other things to get on to, so thank you.
Thanks for having me, Coralie. See you
Yes.
later.
Yes.